Thank you for joining us today. My name is Rick Spencer with Haney Biz. You're joining us on webinar one of a series that we are producing called PPP Forgiveness. This webinar series will help you understand how to plan, organize, and maximize your PPP forgiveness with your PPP loan. We are producing this webinar in partnership with Suncrest Bank. So I'd like to start by welcoming Steve Jones, COO of Suncrest.
Thank you, Rick. Good afternoon, everyone. As Rick said, I am Steve Jones, Chief Operating Officer at Suncrest Bank. You know, back in 2008, when Suncrest Bank was founded, a group of business leaders responded to the critical issue at that time, the need to provide financing to local businesses in a weak economy as large national banks and local banks were withdrawing from the market. In our first 5 years, we invested over $100 million into local businesses and communities. Today, as we face a new critical business climate, we remain committed to all of you and the communities in which we all live and serve. This time, it is you and those in our communities who will need our support to navigate the challenges and urgency of the day. While your days can feel hectic and fatiguing with news updates and financial predictions, I'm happy you made time to join us today. Our investment in this PPP forgiveness program is an extension of our commitment to you, so you can feel as prepared as possible. Most importantly, we want you to know that you are not alone. Today's webinar is one of a series of three where our partners at Haney Biz will guide you through planning, documenting, and applying for PPP forgiveness. In addition to the support available from Haney Biz that you will learn about today, our team at Suncrest Bank is always available, and we have created a dedicated email address. You'll see this at the end, but it's PPP_forgiveness@suncrestbank.com. So we can respond quickly and efficiently to your questions. Whether your questions are simple or complicated, we want to hear from you. We encourage you to engage with all of the tools you learn about today and to take advantage of the FAQ form so we can all learn together. Just like when we were founded, our strong relationships with local small businesses and our continued collaboration during difficult economic periods will allow us to strengthen our communities. Thank you for your trust in our team. We truly do care. When this is passed, and it will, we look forward to celebrating yours and our community's success together. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And I want to thank Suncrest for their leadership in this program. For those of you that don't know about Haney Biz, we were started by our founder, Mark Haney. After he navigated through a difficult economic climate in 2008 with one of his businesses in the security industry, and after exiting that business, he was committed and passionate about helping other small businesses succeed. And that's where Haney Biz started. And since then, we've been helping companies start, scale, and succeed with our accounting, CFO services, and other services that we offer to the business community. So I'd like to cover our agenda for today. We are recording this session, and afterwards we'll be sharing that link with you. We'll also be able to share other resources that we've created and we'll reference throughout today's webinar. I'll start with some introductions to our team so that you can understand their expertise and how they can address some of the questions that you have. Then we'll go through the PPP forgiveness requirements. And it's very important to know that we're covering these as they exist today. There is still a lot of uncertainty into the formal guidance, but that's why we've created a three-part series to provide support over the next several weeks should guidance change and we receive new information. But this PPP forgiveness checklist that you'll leave with today will give you a great start. Finally, we'll do questions and answers. And some of you, thank you, you submitted questions in advance of this webinar that we'll be able to address provided time. For the rest of you, should you have questions about today's content or that you think of during the webinar, please use the Q&A icon on the Zoom window to submit your questions. And then we'll be able to address those at the end of the session. And if there's any questions we can't get to today, we'll be able to curate those and add those to the FAQ section of the PPP forgiveness landing page that we'll share with you after the webinar. So with that, I'd like to introduce my colleagues at HaneyBiz. First, we have Ian DeWert, who's Vice President of Investments. Ian started his career in international hedge fund management in San Francisco, where he learned the intricacies of how companies started and scaled. From that time, Ian was able to venture out to become a co-founder of a venture capital firm that was focused on clean energy technologies, as well as a CFO for a firm in a similar industry. He remains very active in startups as well as scaling companies, both with his work at HaneyBiz, as well as a board member for startups as well. We also have Alyssa White, who is a licensed CPA. Alyssa is one of our most popular team members on our accounting and CFO team. She has a wealth of experience in accounting, from one of the big four accounting firms to helping companies both small and large. Whether Alyssa is helping people with QuickBooks, where she holds a status as a elite pro advisor from QuickBooks, or whether she's helping companies scale with controlling and CFO services, Alyssa has helped some of our many hundreds of clients succeed, and we're glad to have her expertise today. And finally, again, my name is Rick Spencer. I am supporting our community of partners that we have with HaneyBiz. So in addition to our accounting and CFO services, we're able to connect our clients with other partners that provide them with services in the areas of human resources, IT, marketing, and others, where we can help clients optimize their expenses and find improved results with better partnerships. So I'm happy to help facilitate this today. So we'll have Ian take us through some of the main content in our checklist. Ian, welcome.
Thank you, Rick, and welcome to everyone listening today. Thank you for joining us. Alyssa and I have tried to put together a practical approach to keeping your books, keeping your records organized so that in a few weeks, as we move towards the forgiveness phase of this program, you will be set up to have your loan forgiven. The PPP program, it's a very interesting setup. In that you'll be receiving money now in the form of a loan, and if you follow the rules, the loan will be forgiven. So today we're going to go through the big moving pieces of the rules and the rules you need to follow in order to get that loan forgiven. And it's important to keep in mind, as Rick said, as we go through this, the rules were written hastily as the market was crashing and Congress got out the door. Well, we broadly know what needs to happen. The SBA is going to have to provide more guidance in a number of areas to really clear things up. And because we're lacking complete guidance, we want to start at the top with defining what is the PPP trying to achieve. Because I think if we keep these three things in mind, when we get to the areas that are up for interpretation, it gives us a guide on how to think through things. So the PPP is trying to keep people employed, keep businesses open, and keep rent and mortgage payments current. And so with that, we'll jump in to the meat of the program. And this is the question that we've received, I think, the most often in our discussions. So we'll start off by driving this home. From the time you receive your loan, you have 8 weeks to spend that money in order for it to be eligible for forgiveness. So not the day you apply, but the day the money hits your account, the 8-week clock starts ticking. And so as best practice, throughout this process, but starting with the deposit, we recommend you keep your bank statements in order. And this could be as simple as actually printing your bank statement and annotating it, circling that deposit, and keeping in mind that this is one of the records that will be critical when you're putting your forgiveness package together to bring back to the bank to apply for forgiveness. Let me check in with Alyssa, and we'll do this throughout the program to see if she has anything to add to the 8-week concept.
No. Hi, Ian. Yeah, no, 100% agree with you on the bank statement is going to be one of the most important things. As we go through this entirety of the webinar, the big thing is documentation is key. So we don't want to leave any room for questions or areas of grayness. So things that you have to support, you know, the deposits and the expenses and all that are going to be a theme of this topic today. So yeah, 100% agree with Ian, having that bank statement to show the deposit is going to be really important.
Great. And as we go through these slides, you'll notice on the right-hand side in green, the first item has popped up on our checklist. As we go through, the presentation, that list will grow. And keep in mind that as a takeaway, we will make this checklist available on our website as well. So if you can't take notes at the moment, no problem. You'll be able to download a PDF later on from our website. Okay, so moving past, staying on the topic of the 8 weeks. On a practical note, how exactly will you be able to show all of the expenses related to your PPP eligible spending? For those of you who use an outsourced accounting firm or bookkeeper, you may want to coordinate with the people there in order to run a transaction detail by account report. This report is going to, this will show you every transaction. And it's possible to set that up or a form of this report so that you see only the eligible expenses if they are tagged and booked correctly. And Alyssa, maybe you could explain a little bit further how one would go about that.
Yeah. So a big question that we're getting from our current base of clients is once they get the funds, you know, they're emailing us and they're saying, you know, what do we do? How do we make sure this is right in our accounting software? So we've put together an internal procedure on how we're going to track these. And after doing a lot of research, it's actually what everyone is doing with this right now. So the main thing is you want to make sure that you have the deposit as well as the eligible expenses tracked appropriately in QuickBooks or whatever your accounting software is, so that when it comes time for forgiveness, you can easily pull a report and you're not having to hunt and peck through all of your expenses and transactions that you've incurred over the 8 weeks to find the few that are eligible for forgiveness. So the transaction detail by account report is a great report that you can pull out of your accounting software program. And it's a version of the general ledger, so that would work too. But essentially what we're suggesting is that you pull an account detail for a number of different chart of accounts in your accounting software. So one would be the account that the deposit went into. So pulling the transaction detail for that account and highlighting or annotating in Excel the deposit, which matches to the bank statement, and then also a transaction detail by account for where those qualified expenses are. So there's a couple of different processes for how to do that, and we'll go over those again at the end, but to give you a high-level idea of what that looks like, depending on your accounting software, you could use what's called a class tracking system. So in QuickBooks, for example, you can utilize what's called class tracking. So what we're suggesting is if you have that functionality in your QuickBooks Online, that for every qualified expense that comes through, you tag it with that Paycheck Protection Program class. You would create one just for that. And so at the end of the period, you can pull a transaction detail by class, actually, and you can get all of those expenses run in a really quick report. If you don't have the class system available, then we're suggesting to set up an additional expense account on your profit and loss, just called Paycheck Protection Program Expenses or something like that. And every time one of those qualified expenses happens, you would categorize it to that specific line item. And so then at the end, you can also pull a transaction detail by account for that account as well. So then at the end of the 8 weeks, you can easily pull out of your accounting software program those details, and you're not having to sort through 8 weeks of transactions to find the ones that you need. So things that you can do now to keep it easy through the process.
Great, thank you. And if anyone has further questions on exactly how to do that, please you can follow up with us directly after, and we can get you some details. So the next, I think the biggest requirement for the PPP program and the one that is, I think, on most people's minds is the payroll requirements. There are two tests, and the two tests are, is 75% of the loan spent on payroll? And the second test is, do you have as many people on your payroll as you did before the crisis? So going back to the original concept of the program, the government is trying to maintain full employment. So diving a little bit deeper into the first test, you know, was it at least 75% of the loan spent on payroll? This is actually approached in two different ways. And the first approach is the total payroll paid out. So over 8 weeks, everything paid divided by the total loan amount needs to be greater than 75% of the loan. Tests are also performed on individual employees. So if someone is on your staff, are they still making at least 75% of their former salary or wage? And it's critical because both of these tests need to be passed. If you fall below the ratio on either one, the amount of the loan that can be forgiven will be reduced. So two other things to consider when performing these tests on your own numbers. The contribution to payroll from any one employee can't exceed $100,000. So if you have an employee making over that amount, you're only counting the first $100,000 of their compensation. Money paid above $100,000 doesn't calculate into the total you spend on payroll. And the second consideration is that if you have contract employees who are 1099, they do not count for your payroll spend. Individuals who are operating as independent contractors need to apply for their own PPP loan. They can't be counted as your employees. And then test number two, are there as many people employed now as there were before the crisis? This is a full-time equivalent headcount. So you will be taking the period while you have the PPP loan and comparing it to one of the two periods listed here, February 15th to June 30th of last year, which is the same year-over-year comparison period, or January 1st to February 29th of this year. Certain considerations if your business is new, only one of those periods may apply to you. Also, if you have a seasonal business, such as agriculture, you need to compare. The only valid period is the February 15th to June 30th because the government wants to see the year-over-year comparison. Melissa, anything to add to, sorry, I skipped you on test number one, but for either of the two tests.
Yeah, no problem. Nothing to add on test two, but on test one, I did want to just follow up on the 100K piece. On the initiation of the application for the Paycheck Protection Program, there was a lot of questions about, can I include my payroll costs if I make over $100,000? On the forefront of this whole time, people were thinking, oh, any of it, you know, not just up to $100,000, but the whole thing cannot be included. So I just wanted to clarify that everything up to $100,000 can be forgiven. It is the amount over. And the other thing on that, there's been some questions that I've seen from some of my clients. Is it $100,000 over 8 weeks, or is it $100,000 annualized? And it is an annualized $100,000 limitation. So that's all I've got on that one.
And I'll add one more thing to the payroll discussion. It is the salary. It is also benefits that were in place before the crisis. It is, on the tax side, it gets a little trickier. Federal withholding is included. However, federal payroll taxes, FICA and Medicare are not. So there are some intricacies there. I would suggest going through those with your payroll provider as you're coming up with the number for your loan application, forgiveness application. And keeping in mind that for both of these tests, a lot of payroll providers are proactively getting out there in front of this issue and creating special payroll reports specifically for the forgiveness application. So the question comes up, what happens if you fail to meet one of these tests? And this is an interesting business decision, but there is a window before June 30th where you can rehire some of the employees who were laid off if they were laid off between February 15th and April 26th. As they are rehired, their salary needs to be at least 75% of their pre-crisis salary. And it is important to document this procedure. So if you are making an offer to rehire someone, make sure there is a signed letter. It's countersigned by the employee if they accept. And conversely, if an employee does not accept a rehiring offer, document that as well, so that you can bring that piece of evidence in the event you don't meet the 75% test, but you took actions to do it. And the other consideration to make when thinking about rehiring, if you don't rehire and you don't pass the test, some of the loan will need to be repaid, but keeping in mind that this loan is at 1% interest for 2 years with a 6-month deferral on payments. So it may make good business sense to simply take the loan. Melissa, would you like to add on?
No, you've covered everything that I was going to touch on. You know, it's just the documentation is key. I mean, we're going to reiterate that this whole way through. So document that you offered them rehire, document if they chose not to accept that. And so just making sure that you've got this entire process of rehiring documented is going to be key.
Great. Now, on the other side of expenses, if at least 75% must be spent on payroll, then up to 25% can be used for other eligible expenses. So the eligible expenses are rent, they're interest on the mortgage loans. So keep in mind that money paid towards the principal of a mortgage loan will not count. And then your utilities. So the utilities we have listed here are the ones that we have specific guidance on so far. So electricity, gas, water, transport, telephone, internet. Gas for Business Travel came out a few days ago on a clarification statement. But there are a lot of other things that people consider utilities that we don't have clarity on yet. So your security bill, for example, if you have a security system, it's a gray area. We recommend that you cast the net as widely as you can to try to get credit for these things, even if they are not specifically on the list right now. If you consider them to be a utility, track that, keep a good record of it. We expect the SBA will give much more comprehensive guidance. But in the event that they don't, it'd be good to bring those records to your bank as you apply for forgiveness, because we anticipate the bank will get some level of discretion in interpreting, and particularly the utility expense portion of the forgiveness application. So a few other things to note there. If you are claiming one of these expenses as eligible, that relationship, whether with your electric company or your landlord, must have been in place prior to February 15th. So Alyssa, care to add on?
Yeah, I wanted to add specifically on the part of vendor relationships must be in place prior to February 15th. We've been having a lot of conversations with people about asking if I wasn't paying myself rent, let's say like I own a building and my business uses it and I haven't been paying rent, could I start that process now? And so that's an example of an answer being no, because these relationships must be in place prior to February 15th. The other thing to note too with these eligible expenses under this facility cost category that I like to call it is the expenses have to be incurred in this period. And so there's been talk about people maybe trying to be crafty and maybe prepay some rent if they don't have enough other utilities to use, or paying for a couple of months of utilities. But the underlying language is that the expense has to be incurred in that period. And so that's going to remove your ability from being able to prepay rent for a couple of months, prepay utilities for a couple of months. And that's a bummer, but they're trying to keep to the spirit of this, right? And the spirit of the Paycheck Protection Program is to use it mostly for payroll and that you can use some of it for these facility type costs and not to be prepaying rent, you know, for the next, 12 months or something like that. So just a quick note on that. It's got to be incurred in those 8 weeks.
Okay, great. I see a lot of questions coming in here from the audience. Thank you. When we get to the end, we'll take some time and try to get through as many as we can. Those we don't get to, we will take them offline, try to get people answers, or at the very least, make sure they're posted on the website. Okay. So two more topics to hit that were covered by the PPP. And this one, the Social Security Deposit Deferral. This is an important one for your bottom line. It doesn't necessarily play into the discussion of the loan forgiveness that we've been having, but it's good to be aware of. The employer portion of the Social Security deposit can be deferred while between the time you receive a PPP loan and the time the forgiveness is granted. Beginning March 27th through the time your loan is forgiven, you can defer these payments, and 50% will come due at the end of 2021, and the other 50% come due the following year, end of 2022. And Alyssa, do you have details to add to this one?
Nope, I don't.
Okay. This one is fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
And the last on the tax credit side, this one is a little bit less straightforward, but important to understand that in the Relief Act, certain rules were set that employers need to offer paid sick leave for employees who become sick or if they have extended family who are sick. There's some specific medical leave considerations. If this occurs, and we hope that it doesn't, there is tax credit available for those payments. And Alyssa, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the details of how that works.
Yeah, the tax credit piece on there's a variety of different things that have come out with the CARES Act. And there's been different phases in all of this. And so sometimes I think people get them all jumbled together and, you know, it's challenging to bifurcate them into their own in their own spaces. So there's been payroll tax credits given out for the additional 80 hours. I think that was the family's first leave absence act, something like that. And then there's these types of credits for if someone does have to go out for specific reasons related to COVID-19. And so it's just important to note that these are specific payroll tax items that your payroll provider will help you through. And again, like Ian mentioned earlier, the payroll providers right now are doing a really amazing job of making sure that they are tracking things appropriately in the payroll registers. They have created new payroll codes for, okay, is my employee utilizing these additional 80 hours that came out, or is this a code specific for this type of credit? And so your payroll provider is going to be really helpful for you to connect with to make sure that these things are getting documented and also giving you the information you need to make sure that you can get these employer tax credits. The last thing I was going to mention on this is on your quarterly payroll tax filings and your annual payroll tax filings, there's going to be some changes to those forms or addendums to those forms to help calculate what these credits are. Those have not been released yet. I'm sure they are in draft phase and going to be coming out soon. But just know it's not going to be this, you know, like looking into a foggy glass and trying to figure out how to do this. It's going to be on a form. It's going to be easy to calculate, and your payroll provider will be able to give you the backup necessary to get those credits.
Great. So the last thing we wanted to hit was some practical bookkeeping tips. I think particularly helpful if you are doing your own books, but even if you have an outside service handling your accounts, these are some good things to bring up with them just to make sure that your life when you go to apply for forgiveness is as easy as possible. And Alyssa, I'll let you walk through these.
Sure. So these are some tips to kind of help the checklist be easy. So we've got the checklist on your screen in the green. And some of these things are going to be documents that you're going to get from the various providers. So, you know, you're going to get your bank statement from your bank. You're going to get backup for your payroll from your payroll provider. You're going to get backup for your facility costs from those vendors. So your landlord, you know, your PG&E bill, your water bill, those kind of things. So you're going to have like a stack of actual paper from those providers as part of this forgiveness. The other thing is they're going to want to see in your accounting records that this is all documented. So these are the tips on how to do that. So then you can print that out of your accounting system and put it with your package. So how do we track this? We talked about this a little bit earlier, but there's going to be a couple of things that you or your bookkeeper or accountant are going to need to do to effectively track this in your accounting software. So the first thing is you have your chart of accounts in your accounting software, and this is where you've got, you know, your various income items, your expense items, your asset items, your liability items, and your capital equity section. So when these funds get deposited into your account, you're going to have to categorize them somewhere. So at the date that it comes into your account, when that 8-week time period starts, it is still deemed a loan. It is still deemed a liability, not forgiven at that time. So you're going to want to create a new account in your chart of accounts. And you can put this in the other liability section. That's a section in the chart of accounts. And I would name it something so clear as day, something like CARES Act Paycheck Protection Program, you know, just something like that. And so when that deposit comes into your bank account on your accounting software, you will categorize it to that. And that's where it's going to live for these 8 weeks. You won't have to touch that account again, but it's going to be there as a liability on your balance sheet at that point. Then as you continue operations and you have these qualified expenses coming through, you've paid payroll, you've paid rent, you've paid utilities. When those things come through, you're going to want to make sure that you also identify those with a specific indicator in your accounting software program to make sure they don't get lost in there. So we talked about this. You have two ways of doing that. One, you can use the class system. Not all, if you're on QuickBooks Online, not all QuickBooks Online platforms have the class system. It is an upgrade, and I don't know if it's worth it enough to upgrade for just this, but you might want to. But the class system is something that you can tag an expense in the payroll expense account, in the utility expense account with an indicator tag. It's called a class. And so we're suggesting if you have the class system available to turn it on and create a class for Paycheck Protection Program. You can just call it PPP. And so every time one of these expenses comes through that's qualified, you give it that tag. So then at the end of this 8-week period, you write a report by class, and then it'll pull up the entirety of all expenses that are deemed with that class. Super easy. You won't have to go through and hunt and peck. The other option, though, if you don't have this class system, is just create another new account on your chart of accounts. Just like you created one for the other liability of the Paycheck Protection Program, create one in your other expense section and just call it Paycheck Protection Program Expenses or something like that. And so when payroll comes through, you're not going to categorize it to payroll. You're going to put it in that account. When PG&E comes through, you're not going to put it in utilities. You're going to put it in that account. Now, some people are like, oh, that's going to make like me comparing my financials month over month really hard. Totally. We can move them back after. This is purely to help you be efficient and being able to get the data that you need to get to your bank to help make this forgiven. So you're going to create a liability account to hold the loan, and then you're going to create either a class system to track your expenses or create a new account to put those in. The other things that we're suggesting is to set some reminders or have these conversations with your bookkeeper or accountant to make sure they have those reminders set in place. 8 weeks is going to get lost very quickly, and it's important to be tracking your usage of these funds. My fear is that I'm going to get a call from someone that's not my client, and they're going to be 5 days from deadline, and they've only used like 20% of the funds, and they could have, if they had planned better, used them and gotten them forgiven. So we're suggesting to set some check-in reminders maybe halfway through or 3 weeks until the deadline to take a high-level look with your advisor or just with yourself if you're doing it on your own to see, all right, how am I tracking with utilizing these funds? Am I using them in the right bucket? Where am I at with all of this? And that's also a good time to touch base with your bank, too, and see if they've develop any additional forms that maybe they also want to have as part of your forgiveness checklist. And also a couple other reminders, you know, the week before, a final check. Do I need to cut a check for PG&E today? Do I need to, you know, pay my rent today? And those kind of things. So set yourself some reminders through the process to make sure that you or your bookkeeper are staying on top of that 8-week period. And then lastly, what do you do, you know, when it's all forgiven, you know, let's say this all goes through the 8-week period and you get your forgiveness and now you have this liability on your balance sheet and then you have these expenses maybe in your newly created Paycheck Protection Program expense account because you didn't use the class system, which is okay. Well, what do you do now? So what you'll do at that point is now that that loan's been forgiven, it's no longer a liability on your balance sheet, and we certainly don't want you to keep it there. So what we're suggesting is at that point, you will classify it or reclassify it, I guess, as non-taxable income. And so you should already have that account in your chart of accounts. If not, you'll create it. And so you'll move it out of that liability account into this non-taxable income account. The forgiveness is not taxable for federal purposes. We do not have guidance yet on how the states are going to comply with that. All states are usually very slow when determining if they're going to follow suit with the IRS. So that's to come. And then at that point too, if you have all those expenses in that other, you know, Paycheck Protection Program expense account, at that time you can move them back to their proper home. You will have had that report printed out. You will have that as backup in your PERM file. But then going ahead and you can move your payroll back to payroll and you can move your PG&E back to utilities. But doing this over 8 weeks, it might sound like a little bit of a nuisance on the front end, but I promise you, I've done enough of these like setups so far for my clients. It literally takes like 5 minutes. And it's been already very streamlined to help keep on target of using those funds correctly and timely and not having to like lose the data in the software program. So I think if you do those things, you'll be set up for success come the 8 week deadline period.
Great. Thank you, Alyssa. Very helpful.
Yeah.
And I want to at this point open things up to Q&A. There are there are 50 questions in the queue at this point, so we won't have time to get through all of them. So I do just want to let everybody know, like I said, we're going to answer all of these questions. We will put them on the website, and you know, at some point in the next day or so, you should be able to get there, go to the website and download the answers to these questions. But I'm just going to go through a few.
We'll
now.
Go rapid fire as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we'll see if we can help as many as we can.
Alyssa, this one is going to come to you. A number of people are asking about the tax implications, expenses that you pay for with PPP that is forgiven. Are those expenses tax deductible?
So the answer is no. If you get the forgiveness, they are not. So the forgiveness won't be taxable. The expenses won't be deductible. It will be a net zero impact. And this is for federal tax purposes. As I mentioned just a moment ago, the states have not come out with how they're going to comply with this. If the forgiveness is not, does not happen for you, the liability stays as a loan on your books and those expenses will be deductible.
Okay, great. Good. I think that helped a large handful of people watching the webinar. Thank you. It's another one. This one's also for you. Are full-time equivalent calculations based on 30 hours or 40 hours?
Oh, that's an interesting one. So I think it's 30. I will double check it right now and get back to you in just a moment, but I am almost 100% sure it is 30. It's 30. Okay. We've got back office people helping me out here too.
Okay. This one is up for interpretation and I don't know if we'll be able to help here. But I want to point this one out as something that we hope guidance will be coming soon. Equipment lease payments. Any chance these will be considered or included in the rent category?
I'm going to agree that there's not guidance out on this, but I think we can say with certainty that the spirit of the loan is to keep rents paid. So would leases on equipment fall into that category? I think argument for yes could be passed on that, but we're going to have to wait for guidance on that one to say with certainty.
I would agree. Yeah, I'd almost err on the side of saying they probably won't be. But again, we're in the dark.
Yeah.
Okay, I see a question about, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to take one out of the Q&A. Yeah, what if employees do not want to return to work or no longer receive unemployment? So there might be two questions in there. So what if your employees do not want to return to work because they're making more on unemployment? Well, that's obviously going to have an issue on your passing your headcount test. But the other issue is it's going to have an impact on them continuing to receive unemployment. So one of the issues is that there's an implication for them as individuals receiving unemployment. If they've been given the opportunity to take their job back, they will not be able to maintain on unemployment. So that's a conversation that you'll have to have with your employee. Or no longer receive unemployment. So yeah, I mean, once they come back on to work with you, then no, they would no longer be receiving unemployment.
Okay. The question here, if you are already utilizing class tracking on QuickBooks for other purposes, is it possible to use multiple classes on the same expense?
Unfortunately, no. That is not an enhancement that QuickBooks has put out. So if you are already using classes and want to maintain those classes, then I would suggest actually just doing an additional line item on your chart of accounts in the expense section and just put those things in there for now and just move them into their normal expense account once the 8-week period is over.
Okay, great. We have one here from an independent contractor, and the question is, it says, I am an independent contractor on 1099 and I have been approved for PPP. How should I pay myself and utilize loan forgiveness, the loan forgiveness portion of the salary?
So the guidance on self-employed individuals has been late to the party, but it is coming out slowly but surely. So the last that I read is, if you are an independent contractor, how should I pay myself? The way that they are determining what you can be forgiven for is taking your 2019 Schedule C net income, dividing it by 52 weeks, and multiplying it by eight weeks. And so that is what they are going to tell you that can be forgiven. So I would do that calculation and then I would pay yourself that over that 8-week period. There have been questions about, like, how do I pay myself if I have my own business? If you have a separate business account from your personal for your self-employed position or your sole proprietorship, make a transfer, write a check, do that. If it's one and the same, I think it's gonna be fuzzy, but I don't think that's a deal breaker. I would make sure that you put a memo to the file or denote something in a draft financial statement for this 8-week period that there were draws that were deemed just for your pay.
Okay, great. Alyssa, is there one in the queue you'd like to pick out?
I'm scrolling. Can I use the PPP fund to cover income loss? I haven't worked for 2 months. I'm wondering if that question is based on self-employed. And if so, yes. So if you're, like I was just mentioning, if you're self-employed and you have not gotten income for this period, then yes, the PPP can help fund your income loss. If you are an entity and you have payroll, but your business is running as a loss, then no, that wouldn't be used for that.
Okay, here's a question on what is considered part of payroll and benefits, specifically workman's compensation, insurance payments. Are those included in the payroll number? That's a great question. I believe they are.
Yes, the answer is yes on that.
Okay.
There's a question on what does it mean by transportation in terms of utility costs. I think you were meaning there, Ian, it's like business travel is likely what I think you were meaning, right?
I can't say that I put any personal interpretation to it. I believe we took that language directly from someone else's guidance. I wish I had more clarity there. But at this point, honestly, not sure. Hopefully when we get to the next webinar, which is going to be covering a lot of Q&A, what we're hoping and intending is that we have some guidance and clarification from the SBA at that point. So like to table, I think, the specifics
sure.
on that one and back as soon as we can.
We do know that guidance has come out that released that gas when driving a business vehicle would be included in that transportation, and that is fact. So gas is a yes. And then they're putting everything else in this transportation bucket. So what does that mean? Like, is it subway fares if you're in downtown New York for a business travel meeting? I don't know. I don't even know if the subways are actually open right now. That's probably a bad example. But more guidance to come. But yes to gas when driving a business vehicle has come out that is deemed okay. Someone asked, is back rent payment that you make up payment, is that forgivable? I'm going to err on the side of caution on that one and say no, because the facility costs and the payroll are supposed to be incurred in that period of time.
Okay. There's a question. Is there any penalty if we fail to meet all the requirements of loan forgiveness, or will we just need to pay it back? It's a great question. There's no penalty. So you won't be penalized for lack of compliance. The way the math will work, if you took a $10,000 loan, you'll run through the tests and it may say 7,000 is forgivable. So the balance, $3,000, would automatically be treated as that 2-year loan, accruing interest at 1% with a 6-month payment deferral. So no penalty, unforgiven amounts are simply treated as a loan.
Okay, here's another question. Our accountant and other banks have suggested that opening a separate bank account to hold the funds would be a good idea to keep everything separate. What is your recommendation about this? I have recommended this, and I have not recommended this. It really depends on the circumstance. Some banks are requiring that you actually open up a separate bank account, and that account has to be used specifically for these qualified expenses. Other banks do not have that requirement. It is easy to have a separate bank account and use it just for this in terms of tracking. You won't have to do those bookkeeping tips that I mentioned, where you would have to put it in its own, you know, specific chart of accounts. However, what if you have your payroll automatically drafted out of your, you know, previous bank account that you're using? What if your PG&E is already drafted out of a specific, you know, previous account, your main bank account? Is it more work for you to put them all on draft out of this new account and then switch them all back? I mean, that's something that you have to decide. But yes, if it's easy for you to do so and easy for you to switch those things, then yes, that is another option that would work for tracking.
Okay, great. And I'm just going to be mindful of the clock here.
Yeah,
Lisa, Steve, I just want to make sure that people know that Suncrest Bank does not require them to have a separate account. So assuming
great.
That.
Great. Yes. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. Another question I saw come up quite a bit are additional payments to employees during the 8-week period, hazard pay, additional bonuses for, you know, coming to work, that type of thing. So I don't know if you have an answer to that.
I do have an answer to that. And so the current guidance does not prevent you from doing an increase for things such as bonus or hazard pay. However, you have to be mindful of what Ian mentioned earlier about the $100,000 limit. So, and remember that $100,000 limit is annualized. And so if you give them hazard pay for this 8-week period, is that going to bump them over that limit? In which case your forgiveness will be reduced in part by the amount in excess of that $100,000 threshold.
And also in the language from the SBA, there is some language that seems pretty loose, but they allude to a reasonability test. So is this expense, is this payment to an employee for purpose of accounting for payroll, is it reasonable? That isn't defined. So there is definitely some gray area to play with here. And I think at this point we're gonna need to wrap it up, but I do want to reiterate, there's a ton of great questions in here, and I apologize we didn't have time to cover everything, but we will be working hard after this webinar to get answers to those. We will post those on our website under the frequently asked questions section and make sure that we get the answers you need out there. Rick, can I hand it over to you?
Yes, thanks, Ian. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Great. So I want to thank all the attendees for joining us today. I want to thank, again, Suncrest for their partnership and leadership in this space. As Ian and Alyssa demonstrated today, there is a lot of questions in this space. And, you know, that's why we designed the webinar series to cover 3 weeks. So our next webinar will be next Thursday at the same time. And that will be dedicated just to going through questions and answers. So we're going to be curating these questions and covering them both in our FAQs as well as live in that webinar. So we do encourage you to continue to participate. And we'll also be sending out an email with the webinar recording. So feel free to watch that. We have in the chat just posted our landing page, haneybiz.com. /PPP-forgiveness. So you can see in the chat right now that web link, which has the webinar schedule. It has some tools that we've created, like an interactive assessment to help you go through some of these questions in real time and see where you may have gaps. A copy of this checklist that was summarized today, as well as a calculator, so a calculator tool. And finally, I would just add, as far as Haney Biz, we've been helping our clients in this space, and we're happy to help you more directly if you think your questions are more specific to your business or you really just want that more direct one-on-one independent help. We have created some low-cost solutions to engage with you to provide individual assistance. So you can see those on the landing page. We're happy to have our accounting and CFO team work with you individually so that we can make sure that you're not in this alone. So, with that said, thank you again, everyone, and we hope to see you again next week for the next webinar.